miraculous resurrection. You can take a look and see what you think. But the problem is, as soon as Elliot was raised, Elliot disappeared. I don't mean he vanished before everybody, but no one could find him anymore. His workmates from a furniture store saw him on TV and they said, his name's not Elliot, his name is Brighton. The preacher and Elliot were placed under criminal investigation for fraud. But that is where the plot thickens a little bit further, because a few weeks ago, Elliot turned up at his family's house in Zimbabwe, and they say his name's not Elliot, and his name is not Brighton, his name is Tabiso. Elliot, Brighton, Tabiso, which one is he? I'm not sure. But then Tabiso got sick. Under suspicious circumstances, he was checked into a hospital, constantly vomiting. Doctors don't know why, but that is where he died on April 3rd. And now he is buried for good. There was no second resurrection. Now, the police are looking for the money that Elf allegedly paid Tabiso to keep quiet. The hush money has somehow disappeared. His family insists there isn't any money anywhere. But what do you reckon? Is there a healthy skeptic living inside of you? Do you think maybe this maybe was a fake, a fraud, a conspiracy? Well, that's what it sounds like if you ask me. Over time, there has actually been plenty of resurrection stories, but they don't all involve potentially dodgy ministers. I like the story of Matthew Wall, who died in 1571. He died and he was placed into a casket, but as his pallbearers were carrying his coffin, one of them slipped on some leaves on a path and they dropped his coffin on the ground. When the pallbearers picked it up, they heard Matthew knocking to be let out. And Matthew went on to live another 24 years, and his hometown in England celebrate a day in his honour every year. It's on October the 2nd. It's called Old Man Day. And they celebrate by making the kids sweep the paths so no more pallbearers slip and raise the dead to life. Well, then there's the story of Marjorie McCall. Marjorie died of a fever in Ireland in the 1700s. And Marjorie was married to a doctor. So in the 1700s, that meant she was fairly well-to-do. She was fairly rich. And she was known to have an expensive wedding ring on her finger. A nice big gold wedding ring. Mine's not gold. It's silicone. Don't ever worry about trying to steal this from me, all right? But the thing about Marjorie's ring was it was worth a lot of money, but because of her fever, her hands had swollen and they couldn't get the ring off when she died. The doctors and the village wanted to make sure that the fever wouldn't spread to everybody else, so they buried her very quickly with the ring still on her hand. Well, you can guess what happened. That only encouraged some grave robbers to come and try their luck. So they dug up her grave and they tried to take her ring off, but it still wouldn't budge because her hands were still swollen. And so they took a knife and went to slice off her finger. That's when Marjorie woke up screaming. Marjorie had been resurrected by the blade of a knife. Now, unfortunately, she walked home and she knocked on the door and her husband opened the door and proceeded to die of shock. And he was quickly buried in her newly vacated grave. Now, there are plenty of weird and wonderful resurrection stories that you can find on the internet too if you've got some time on your hands. Each is remarkable in its own way. And they all are kind of intriguing and they make you wonder if this could possibly be true. Could this have possibly been a real resurrection? In a way, we're blessed and cursed by our modern medicine and science because there's something about these stories that makes them amazing and we kind of wish that it were the case, but at the same time, they are unbelievable to us. They are unrealistic, they are impossible, and they must have some other explanation. People can't rise from the dead. Maybe they weren't really dead. Maybe it's a case that the doctors were so kind of primitive that they couldn't tell the difference between a dead person and someone who was just close to death. They didn't have our modern machines that monitor heart rates and brain activity, so maybe they just didn't know and they were too quick to act. Besides that, these people died again later. Every single one of them died again. So was it really a resurrection? Did it make any difference that they were raised? Maybe they were hoaxes. Maybe it's a joke. Or in some cases, they reckon it was a conspiracy to try and canonize someone to make them a saint for the church. And this was one of their miracles. But see, the thing is, friends, everyone knows that resurrection is impossible. At least it's the one miracle that our modern world, our modern minds struggle to believe. And yet, friends, here we are on Easter Sunday, a good crowd of us really, who are all here on a day that is about the unbelievable resurrection of Jesus. Now, this could just be any old Sunday, really, but this is a day where we specifically remember Jesus rising from the dead. So much of our world is actually shaped around the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Sunday is the first day of the week. It's the day when Jesus rose. That's why we have Sundays as a day where we gather together. But this is a special Sunday. Friends, why are we here if this is so unbelievable? Well, I hope that you will see today that we are here celebrating this resurrection because Jesus' resurrection story stands out from the rest that you can find on the internet. It stands out because Jesus really was dead. Jesus really died. But Jesus also told us before he died that he would be raised. He said it would happen beforehand, so no one should have been surprised when it did. And then Jesus didn't die again afterwards like all those others. So Jesus is alive and we can know that death is not the end. Friends, Jesus really was dead. Now that's what we remembered on Good Friday just 2 days ago. Jesus really did hang up on a cross and breathe his last breath. And maybe you remember his cry. He shouted, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now we know that Jesus was forsaken so that we can be forgiven. And we know that he was all alone so that we never have to be. He really did die because he had to die to pay the penalty for our sin. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. But God has paid it all in the death of Jesus. And the Roman soldier who was standing there at the foot of the cross knew that it was true. He saw what happened and how Jesus died, and he said, surely he was the Son of God. Now friends, we know that Jesus really was dead because he was taken down from the cross and buried in a tomb. Now you might think, hey Andrew, that doesn't actually prove anything. But the thing I want you to know is that the Romans who hung Jesus up on the cross, they were experts in torture and cruelty and death. Crucifixion was their method of choice. They practiced crucifixion, this method of humiliating people and making a public spectacle of them for many, many years. It was to cheapen people's status. It was to make them look utterly worthless to anyone who walked by. History tells us that the Romans were very, very good at crucifixion. History tells us that they once crucified 6,000 slaves from Spartacus's army in one go in 73 BC. So about 100 years before Jesus was on the cross. They put 6,000 men on crosses every 33 metres on the road into Rome. You can figure out later how many kilometres of crosses that is. They were very good at making sure that people weren't just mostly dead. And there was no way they were letting Jesus down off his cross if there was a chance that he was still breathing. I mean, how could he still be breathing if he had a spear shoved through his lungs and into his heart? Jesus really was dead. and it was confirmed by the Roman governor Pilate before he let Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body. It's not recorded for us in Matthew's gospel, but in the other gospels you can read that Pilate was surprised that Jesus had died so quickly. So he called for the soldier who was there, and the soldier confirmed Jesus really was dead. So Pilate handed over his body. Listen to what Joseph did with it from Matthew 27, verse 59. The words are also up on the screen. Joseph took the body. He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and placed it in his own new tomb that he'd cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Friends, Jesus really was dead. The Romans confirmed it, and they gave his body for burial, and the women watched Joseph close up that tomb. Jesus didn't pass out and later revive in the cool of the evening. He really was dead. But the thing about Jesus is that he told everyone he would rise again before this ever happened. Now, one big difference between Jesus' resurrection and the other stories that you read is that Jesus prophesied that it had happened beforehand. And maybe his disciples didn't understand it at the time, but on a number of occasions when he was talking to them about his death, he also said that he'd rise again. Here's a few of those conversations up on the screen. In Matthew 16, verse 21, we read that from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. In 17, verse 23, Jesus said, they will kill him and on the third day he'll be raised to life. In 20, verse 19, he prophesied that the Jews would hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he'll be raised to life. I hope you can see where this is going. Jesus said it would happen before it did. And actually, just after the Last Supper in Matthew 26, and when Jesus told his disciples that he'd die, he also promised, after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. So even the Jewish elders and leaders heard about it. But they didn't want it to be true. You see what they got up to on the Sabbath in verse 63. They went to the governor, to Pilate, and they said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I'll rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." The Jews didn't want it to be true. They tried to cover it up. They put a guard. They paid off the guards when having the guard didn't make any difference. But friends, Jesus really did rise. And unlike those other resurrection stories, Jesus didn't die again later. It's written there for us in Matthew 28. On the day after the Sabbath, the first day of the week, a Sunday, the same women who watched Joseph bury Jesus went back to the tomb. And that's when they saw something that rocked their world. They weren't expecting to find Jesus alive again. But after an earthquake and during an encounter with a dazzling angel, they heard these amazing words. From verse 5, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I have told you.'" Just like Jesus said, he was not there. He was alive. He is alive and going ahead to meet them in Galilee. Now, can you just imagine the mix of emotions going on for these women who've followed Jesus to Jerusalem, seen him die on a cross, and followed Joseph to his tomb? Can you imagine the emotions going on in their hearts? Maybe not quite daring to hope. maybe filled with confusion, but nonetheless filled with joy as they run off to tell his disciples, Jesus is alive and never to die again. He appeared to his disciples, and though some didn't believe it at first, they bowed down and worshipped him. Can you see that? Chapter 28, verse 16. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." See, here's the thing. Jesus didn't run off and hide after his resurrection. Jesus didn't just go on with his life for another 24 years after his resurrection. Jesus appeared to his disciples and told them what his resurrection means. It means that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Now, here at Rocky PC for the last term, we have been looking forward to this moment, because it's his death and resurrection that confirms Jesus is the King and God has prepared a kingdom for him. The King's kingdom has arrived. All authority belongs to Jesus. There is nothing that doesn't fall under his domain. There is nothing outside of his control. Everything in heaven and on earth belongs to him in his kingdom. But here is the thing. Because he's alive and reigning now, we can know he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Jesus has secured our salvation forever. Jesus died so the wages of sin could be paid, and Jesus rose again so we know that death is not the end. We can come to God confidently and without fear. We know death is not the end, and we know that Jesus has something better in store for all his people. It's called eternal life, life after death. And at Easter time, there is an invitation for you to be a part of it and to enjoy that eternal life that he offers you. And this is a very different story to the other resurrection stories you can search out on the internet. But Jesus really did die. He said he'd rise again beforehand, and he did. He is alive right now. So we know death is not the end for us who believe. This is a very different story, and the whole Easter story hangs on this being true. The whole of our Christian faith hangs on this being true. Whether you agree or not is up to you to figure out. But the earliest Christians believed that Jesus was literally and physically raised from the dead, that he appeared to his disciples and a whole bunch of other people too. And people have staked their lives on this throughout the centuries, and many of them were even crucified. They believed and worshipped a crucified God who rose again. And friends, I've got to say to you that that is who I am staking my life on too. Jesus is alive. And Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. But maybe you're not quite at the stage yet where this is real for you, and that is fine. Maybe the resurrection of Jesus still seems a little bit unbelievable. I want to say to you that that is okay, but I want to encourage you to keep investigating. Easter is an opportunity and an invitation for you to find out more about this man who died and rose again. Now, in term two, we're actually going to be digging deeper into the man that Jesus is. And I hope that you'll keep coming along on Sundays. I hope that you will keep investigating this man who claims to be the King. Alongside that, Richard's going to be running the Christianity Explored course, which is a great chance for you to ask the questions you need to ask, maybe the questions you've never been game to ask before. And there is no time like the present. And we would love everyone who comes to Rocky PC to have done the Christianity Explored course at least once during their time here with us. So that means I also want to talk to you who are holding Jesus off at arm's length. Maybe you've grown bored with Christianity. Maybe you've grown bored with church. Maybe it's the thing your parents do. Maybe you're just going through the motions. I want to say to all of you, Jesus is alive. And that means we know death is not the end. And he invites you to be part of something great, something amazing. Come and be part of his kingdom. Enjoy the life that he offers you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Reflecting on Jesus' life, death and resurrection is a great opportunity for us all to remember that he died to save us from sin, but he died to save us for a purpose, so that we might live for him. And this is a great time of year for you to consider what that means for you. And maybe that great next step would be for you to come along to Christianity Explored and get a bigger picture of Jesus too. I speak to Richard about that today. Or maybe take a different next step. And that might be for you to think about how you can take Jesus' final words more seriously. Now, these are important words at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." You know, here at Rocky PC, you can read on our notice sheets every week that we are committed to growing disciples who sacrifice, serve, and speak for the sake of others. And these verses are at the heart of that. And we want to grow new disciples, and we want to grow mature disciples who do what Jesus says. So in term two, we're also going to be considering how we can all take the next step as growing disciples. And I hope you'll be a part of it. I hope you'll make it a commitment, a priority to be here in term two. Friends, Jesus really did die. But he said he'd rise again, and he did. So Jesus is alive. And that means death is not the end for us, but we can now live for him, because he has something better in store. And I'd love to pray with you now that by his Spirit, God would help us all to consider how we can take the next step to grow as his disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to give you thanks this morning that the Lord Jesus died so that we can be forgiven. We give you thanks, Father, that you didn't leave him in the grave, but you raised him back to life, just as you said you would, just as he promised he would. Father, thank you that his resurrection shows us that death has been defeated, that there is no more penalty for our sin that's outstanding, but the wages of sin has been paid. Father, we thank you that you've given all authority to the Lord Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth. And we pray, Father, that you might move our hearts so that we would see just how great his kingdom is and that we would want to live for him. Father, like we prayed earlier, please help us with our doubts, help us with our questions, and please reveal to us the truth that Jesus is alive, so we know that death is not the end. And we pray this for Jesus' glory. Amen.